Blog Talk Radio.
Tomahawk and a bow and knife
took away our native tongue and taught their English to our young.
Totally. Paul Revere and the Raiders, Cherokee Nation, the Love Line dedication there going out to Libby Warren. Yeah, love you, Lib. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio getting back slowly into my good graces after a mortifying two-week period of technical rhubarbs, but looks like they pulled their heads out and got it together, and I'm happy about that, and I'm happy to be here with you. We do this live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7:30, or 7 p.m. rather, God, it's been a long day, 7 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays, Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, a great afternoon news and commentary slot amongst all the Sunday shows, and you find that version over at Mojo Radio, mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Mine was very nice, all things considered. Went to a Civil War reenactment that my Civil War reenactment group, Brian's Battery and Artillery Group, one of the two events that we host, the Battle of Droop Mountain in Pocahontas County, West Virginia, way up on top of a mountain. And overall, on the whole, it was a really, really good time. Not as many reenactors as we would like to see, but, well, you know, there's always something like that. Maybe next year, I've been assured, we're going to have more infantry troops. So we know it's a great time. If you've never been to a Civil War reenactment, and you maybe you're not interested, maybe you don't care, and that's cool too. A lot of people don't. A lot of people just aren't into history. However, some of those same people that don't dig this, after having been exposed, suddenly change their mind. And they decide, hey, you know what? Pretty interesting stuff. And that's what I did this weekend. It was cold, but we had a real good time, and I was happy to have been there. Another example over the last couple of days, again, that proves that President Trump is, as I have said many times, probably one of the most intuitively gifted natural psychologists that the 21st century has ever seen. He is the master at trolling. Now, oh, and by the way, I can just tell you right now, we're only 6 minutes into the program. We're going extra innings, kids. We're going to be late. And you know what? You might want to get used to that. I think that's going to be something that happens. If we don't move it to a full 90 minutes, we may go 2 hours. I don't have any problems carrying 2 hours of radio all by myself. I've done it in the past, and it has never, ever been a problem. And it won't be in the future. He's the greatest troller, and it's just more proof that the president has a laser pointer and the left is nothing but a hyperactive group of remarkably inquisitive, yet at the same time, fundamentally empty-headed kittens. He shines it over here on North Korea, and they all go scrambling over towards it. He shines it over here on unemployment or immigration, and they all go running over there. Well, this time he shined it on Hunter Biden. Now, here's the backstory. Of course, you know, and we've talked about it a lot, and I have no doubt we will continue to discuss this. No question. But just a little backstory. Hunter Biden kicked out of the Navy, coke-smoking SOB, piece of crap, married his brother's widow, dumped on her, made lots of money through his dad, through his damn dad. Hunter Biden doesn't know his ass from third base. He wouldn't know natural gas if it came up and farted on him. He couldn't find Ukraine on a map if it was the only nation there. So in the last couple rallies that the president's had, I think one was in Wisconsin, and then the next day he was down in Louisiana, and the rally cry was, where's Hunter? Because since this stuff has opened up, and it's really nothing new. This has been going on for over a year, kids. I've told you and told you and told you. Pete Schweitzer's book, Secret Empires. We were talking about this in the spring of 2018. CNN. MSNBC. Chris Matthews. that other guy. Maddow. You know. But nobody said anything. But at the rallies, the president says, where's Hunter? Where's Hunter? They make him the butt of the joke. And what happens? Hunter shows up. Why? Because the Democrats know that if that where's Hunter goes on for too long, it's not going to be a good thing. So Hunter shows up. And oddly enough, he shows up in the softball bullpen of ABC. And you want to talk about something that goes beyond obtuse. We're going to take a look at this heavily edited and shaped interview with Hunter Biden. He didn't have any choice. He had to do this. Enjoying a crisp raspberry spritzer. What is that, you Philistine? I'll tell you. Raspberry Kool-Aid and Sprite, a little bit of ice. That's all. Anyway, so the Democrats say, Joe, it's about Hunter. And Joe says, Hunter who? Oh, Hunter, yeah. Yeah, what about him? What? Who is he? Where is he? What's he doing? What? He's my son, right? That Hunter? Yeah. Okay. Well, Joe, we got to get him out. Okay. I mean, he's laying low, and that's probably a smart thing he should do for your campaign. But we got a problem. The president wants to know where Hunter is. And the thing is, the president oftentimes gets answers to his questions. So we got to drag Hunter out. Well, what are we going to do? Well, he's got to have an interview with somebody. Well, yeah, but who's going to interview him and not make him look like the crooked, thieving piece of crap that he is? Navy dropout coke smoker? Well, like I said, they go to the softball bullpen at ABC. So ABC steps in to run defense with, as I said, an exceptionally obtuse interview with the Hunt head. Now, either the interviewer doesn't know anything about how corporate boards pay members and the structure of business ventures, partnerships, capital fee payment, board fees, etc., or the interviewer intentionally did not challenge some of the ridiculous obfuscations made by Hunter Biden, maybe a little bit of both. During the Chinese deal, Hunter Biden was in a partnership. Hunter paid $420,000 for a 10% equity position, a capital call is what that is, in this new venture with the Chinese after the Chinese invested $1.5 billion. Now, a 10% equity purchase would be worth $150 million. 10%. Okay? He ponied up less than half a mil, and the payoff in return is $150 million. Now, then the partnership could pay the board members' board fees or capital investment fees as the investment matures, and Biden, as a partner, then sells his equity position back. That payoff is coming. So when Hunter Biden says he hasn't made a dime off the China deal, well, that's because the investment fund hasn't matured yet. In essence, he's lying and counting on people not to know how this stuff works. And we've got it here. We've got the interview, and we're going to go with it. It's a little bit long. It's in two parts. The first part, 8 minutes, 21 seconds. You can, and here's a quick gimme just to help you guys out. When Hunter Biden's lips move, invariably, he is telling a lie. This is from ABC, I guess Saturday or Sunday, or maybe Monday, I don't know. Here recently, because the president wanted to know where the hell Hunter was, and by God, here he shows up on ABC.
Let's get to that exclusive with Hunter Biden, the son of former Vice President Joe Biden, who has become a key figure, you know, in the House impeachment inquiry against President Trump. At the center of that, President Trump asking the Ukrainian president to investigate Hunter Biden and his father. Amy is here with all of us. Good morning, Amy.
Yeah, good morning, Rob. And it is safe to say Hunter Biden never expected to be in this position, a focal point of an impeachment inquiry as his father makes a run for the White House. When I sat down with him at his home in Los Angeles, no questions were off limits, including ones about his foreign business dealings that have been the target of attacks by President Trump.
By the way, whatever happened to Hunter? Where the hell is he?
Hunter Biden, the son of former Vice President Joe Biden, has found himself at the center of a political firestorm.
Where's Hunter?
Where is Hunter?
Where is Hunter?
He's right here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm working and I'm living my life.
President Trump says you're in hiding.
Hiding in plain sight, I guess. Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all.
Biden and his son are stone cold crooked.
The president has been on the rampage, accusing 49-year-old Biden of improperly profiting on business interests in Ukraine while his father was vice president and the point person on Ukraine, taking a seat on the board at $50,000 a month with a gas company called Burisma, which had been accused of corruption, leading to that now infamous phone call in July.
It's a very honorable call. It's a nice call.
When President Trump asked Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate the Bidens. No evidence of illegal wrongdoing has been found against either one.
I want to get to the heart of it. Did you and your father ever discuss?
Oh, for the love of God, read the book info,
as I said,
babe.
The only time was after a news account. It wasn't a discussion in any way. There's no but to this. No, we never did.
Your dad said, I hope you know what you're doing.
I hope you know what you're doing.
I do.
And I said, I do. And that was literally the end of our discussion.
Why?
And even if I don't,
my dad was vice president of the United States. There's literally nothing as a young man or as a full-grown adult that
don't smoke a Navy drop.
My father, in some way, hasn't had influence over, as it does not serve either one of us.
When he said, "I hope you know what you're doing," what did he think you were doing?
Well, he read the press reports that I joined the board of Burisma, which was a Ukrainian natural gas company.
And he
and
did.
There's been a lot of misinformation about me,
no,
not about my dad. Nobody buys that, but it buys this idea that I was unqualified to be on the board.
What were your qualifications to be on the
board?
Yeah,
let's hear about that.
Well, I was vice chairman of the board of Amtrak for 5 years. I was
that's not natural
of the
gas, and that's
UN
not in
World
Ukraine.
Food program. I was a lawyer for Boies Schiller Flexner, one of the most prestigious
law firms. Not in Ukraine, and not for natural gas companies.
You didn't have any extensive knowledge about natural gas or Ukraine itself, though.
He had no knowledge about natural gas.
No, but I think that I had as much knowledge as anybody else.
You thought it was farce.
If not more.
In the list that you gave me of the reasons why you're on that board, you did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice
president. Of course, yeah. No.
What role do you think that plays?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
You were paid $50,000 a month for your position?
Look, I'm a private citizen. One thing that I don't have to do is sit here and open my kimono as it relates to how much money I make or did or didn't.
Well, Schweitzer's already taken care of that.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
Hell no. He's a dumbass.
I don't know. Probably not. I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life.
He knows nothing.
That if my last name wasn't Biden.
Why did you leave the board in April?
Cigar store Indians have more on the
board. And you chose not to.
I chose not to.
Why?
I think it's pretty obvious why.
This is your opportunity
it's
to say
hot.
Well, because this is what becomes a distraction, because I have to sit here and answer these questions. And so that's why I've committed that I won't serve on any boards or I won't work directly for any foreign entities when my dad becomes president.
Do you think that should be a rule across the board for
so
any administration?
Let my dad,
no, look,
and
that's
I won't
the rule
be
that I'm going
to
adhere to.
Do you regret being on the board to begin with?
No,
hell
I don't
no,
regret
I made
being on the
bucks.
Board. What I regret is
getting caught.
Not taking into account that there would be a Rudy Giuliani
any consequences?
And a president of the United States that would be
the
listening to this ridiculous conspiracy idea, which has,
it's
again, been completely debunked by everyone. And you know,
I think
we
people
are,
at home
are
thinking, how could that not have crossed your mind? Or you wouldn't have felt just a little bit in your gut, like, maybe this isn't a good idea to go and sit on the board of this
well, I just
Ukrainian
said to you,
company.
I said to you, in retrospect, I would
right,
have stuck my judgment.
Right, but at the time, you never thought, this might not
I would have found
right.
another
you
way
know
to
what?
Make that
I'm
illegal
human.
3.1
You know
million.
What? Did I make a mistake? Well, maybe in the grand scheme of things, yeah. But did I make a mistake based upon some ethical lapse? Absolutely not.
China.
No, it was just greed.
Just started an investigation into the Biden.
Yeah.
Also on Trump's list of accusations against Hunter Biden, that Hunter flew on Air Force Two with his father during an official government trip to China in 2013, leveraging that connection for financial gain in an investment deal with Chinese businessman Jonathan Lee.
The president has repeatedly said that you received $1.5 billion from China despite no experience and for no apparent reason. Obviously, fact checkers have said that that is not true.
Look, this is literally
yeah,
has
the reason
no
is his
basis
dad was vice president.
Anyway,
have you received any money from
no.
that business dealing?
No.
At all? Not
no.
1 cent?
Not 1 cent.
Definitely not $1.5 billion.
It's crazy.
Not yet.
They don't feel like they have the license to go out
and
say whatever they want. It feels
million.
To me like living in some kind of Alice in Wonderland where you're up on the real world, and then you fall down the rabbit hole, and, you know, the president's a Cheshire cat asking you questions about crazy things that don't have bear any resemblance to the reality of anything that has to do with me. And so,
in my fantasy world,
here's the answer. No one ever paid me $1.5 billion.
Not yet.
And if they had, I would not be doing this interview right now.
We saw you in those photos getting off of Air Force Two with your daughter, with your father.
I have traveled
there.
Everywhere with my dad.
Did you talk about China
or your deal with China?
No.
A 12-hour flight over?
No, of course not.
That never came up.
Your father did shake hands
with Mr. Lee, though, correct, in the lobby of that hotel?
I don't remember, but probably. Yeah, I hope so. I hope he did. He was my friend.
Jonathan Lee.
Yeah, for almost 13 years.
He was your friend and your business partner.
Yeah, but I understand. So really, Amy, whether I'm in New York or whether I'm in Washington, D.C., a friend and a business associate is in the hotel, and my dad's sitting there. Is it inappropriate for me to have coffee with them?
That meeting was not a mistake. It was not unethical.
100% not. No.
What do you say to people who believe this is exactly why people hate Washington? A vice president's son can make money in contrast where your father is doing official government
business. By the way, I don't know what to tell you. I made a mistake in retrospect as it related to creating any perception that was wrong. And so, therefore, I'm taking it off the table, Amy. I'm making that commitment. Let's see if anybody else makes that commitment, but that's the commitment that I'm making.
And Hunter Biden reiterated time and time again that he did not ever discuss in any detail whatsoever any of his...
Okay. Again, when he's talking about the China deal, here's the thing. He ponies up $420,000, and in exchange for this, he's going to, when this fund matures, in exchange for this $420,000, he's going to get a 10% equity position. So the Chinese have dumped $1.5 billion into the fund, and that part's true. But the equity purchase, a 10% equity position, would be worth $150 million. So they would have this operating money, and they would pay the board members and float them along on the board fees, the capital investment fees, or whatever you want to call it. And then later, after this investment matures, then Joe Biden, as a partner, sells his equity position back to the company, and that's the $150 million payoff. Now, here's what's going on in China. April 22nd, 2014, less than 3 weeks before Burisma Holdings announced that Hunter Biden was going to join their board, Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States, met with Prime Minister UK and blah, 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 blah. He goes through this. He takes it. Now, we go through all that, and then they go to China. Biden is also the point man on Chinese foreign policy at that time, just like he was heading up the mission for Ukraine foreign policy. So roughly $83,000 a month as part of this consulting fee for Burisma, this corrupt energy company. Now he goes to China. He travels with Joe in December aboard Air Force Two. Dad's off running around meeting with Chinese officials. Hunter's doing we don't know what. But the evidence becomes clear that sometime after that, 10 days, as a matter of fact, after they get back home to D.C., his small potatoes investment firm, a company called Rosemont Seneca, gets a $1 billion deal, has $1 billion that was later expanded to $1.5 billion. Now, that's what we're talking about. Now, what they were looking for in China had to do with the company that they bought out, and I can't remember the name of it. I think it's Henninger Auto. It specialized in suspension technology. In other words, suspension for vehicles, maybe heavy vehicles like trucks. Trucks that might transport troops or military equipment. So Rosemont Seneca, and then when he gets into China, the company becomes Bohai Harvest. And this company buys Henninger Automotive. I think it's Henninger. And all that technology with military applications is undoubtedly probably the largest measure of it, you know, in the hands of the Chi-Coms right now. So the Communist Chinese used Hunter Biden's Bohai Harvest and Rosemont Seneca Investment Company to acquire a company that deals in, you know, sensitive transportation technology. Now, this is a deal, this little piddly Rosemont Seneca, okay? The bank that is backing this deal with Bohai Harvest and Rosemont Seneca is basically the Bank of China. So it's the Chinese government. Goldman Sachs doesn't have a deal like this. Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, nobody has this. But Joe Biden's son, he's got it. And again, no background in this type of technology, in these manufacturing processes, no background in China, no background in anything except being a Navy dropout Coke smoker. And he winds up with another sweetheart deal, a cream puff. And, you know, nobody gets this. Nobody gets this. Well, we're going long anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a little break, play a little bit of music. I'm going to find something to drink. And we're going to come back. We have another part to this. And we're going to get some reactions from some of the folks, well, from Jim Jordan in particular. And then we're going to go back and revisit our friend, the Schiff Head, and we're going to shoot the Schiff with Adam for a little while. Right now, we're going to take a break. You are listening to A Conservative's Perspective, and you're doing it right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and we will be back with more right after this.
Come with me to Alabama. Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Now there you can make no mistake. Where those nerves are never shaky. Ought to taste a layer cakey. That's what I like about the South. She's got baked ribs and candied yams. Oh, sugar-cured Virginia hams. Basement full of those berry jams. And that's what I like about the South. Hot corn bread and black-eyed peas. You can eat as much as you please. Cause it's never out of season. That's what I like about the South. Don't take one. Have two. They're dark brown and chocolate too. Suits me, they must suit you, cause that's what I like about the South. Way, way down where the cane grows tall, down where they say you all walk on in with that southern drawl, cause that's what I like about the South. Down where they have those pretty queens, keep a dreamin' those dreamy dreams. Let's sip that absinthe in New Orleans. That's what I like about the South. Old Bob with all the news, got the box back coat and the button shoes, but he's all caught up with his union dues, and that's what I like about the South. Here come old Roy down the street, who can't you hear those scuffling feet? He would rather sleep than eat, and then that's what I like about the South. Every time I pass your door, you act like you don't want me no more. Why don't you shake your head and sigh, and I'll go walking right on by. Gone on, on and on and on. Honey, when you tell me that you love me, then how come you close your eyes? Did I tell you about the place called Do I Diddy? It ain't no town and it ain't no city. It's just awful small, but awful pretty with Do I Diddy. Didn't come here to criticize. I'm not here to sympathize. But don't call me those no good lies, cause a lying gal I do despise. You love me like I love you. Send me 50 PDQ. Rose are red and violets are pink. I'm gonna get old 50, I don't think. Got backbones and butter beans, ham hocks and turnip greens. You and me in New Orleans, and that's what I like about the South.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, drinking beer in a cabaret, was I having fun? Until one night she caught me right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. Every night, Bing, and I'll woo you every day. I'll be your regular mama, and I'll put that gun away.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay the thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody. Oh, she kicked out my windshield, and she hit me over the head. She cussed and cried and said I'd lied, and she wished that I was dead.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. We're three tough gals from deep down Texas way. We got no pals. They don't like the way we play. We're a rough, rootin', tootin', shootin' trio, but you'll see my sister Cleo. She's a terror, make no error, but there ain't no life to spare, is what we tell her.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol backin' mama, lay that pistol down.
Marijuana boogie time. got a woman named Juana.
Juana, Juana, Juana.
Juana. But all the men she made love to, they call her
Marijuana.
One at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. We might be one at a time in it here and there every now and then. And you know what? That's cool, too. It's all good. James Bostic here with Conservative Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. We do it live. And as you know, we've gone into extra innings tonight, and I think it might be, I don't know, it seems to be turning out to be the rule rather than the exception because there's so much crap going on. And it's tough to load up that news sandwich in just an hour, which is a high compliment from our friend Lisa Michelbacci. Compared my show to a news sandwich. I like that. The Whopper. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. We do this live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And that's on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. Your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio that you're going to find anywhere. Out there, terrestrial, satellite. These guys are some of the best in the business, and that is no joke. And ACP, proud and humbled to be moving through that rarefied air. Joe, let me see. We know Hunter. We were talking about Hunter. Where the hell is Hunter? Right here, Don. Right here he is. We got him. He's on ABC. We don't have anything to hide. We weren't covering for him. Oh, I threw back my head and laughed. Okay, let me see if I can cue this idiot up. Now, in the second part of the interview, in the first part of the interview, he lies and obfuscates in terms of the ethical tar baby that he and his father are currently embraced with concerning the Burisma holdings in Ukraine and the Bohai Harvest investment brokerage partnership that he had with the communist Chinese government. Man, we will kill you. We will run you over with tanks. We will put you in concentration camps. We will imprison you. We will harvest your organs. We will destroy every last vestige known of your existence within our territory, talking about the Uyghur Muslims. Chinese government, that same government that the NBA has completely dropped trowel and bent over for. You suck, NBA. You suck, LeBron James. Commie sympathizing SOBs. So, part two of the interview, like I said, in the first part of the interview, Hunter lied and obfuscated about his business dealings and this ethical tar baby that he and his father embraced. In the second part of the interview, we get to see, you know, the same kind of lying and bullshit. It's just on a more personal level. Here it is.
Amy's exclusive interview with Hunter Biden, son of the former vice president, who's found himself, as you know, at the center of the political firestorm over the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Amy.
Good morning again, Robin. Yeah, this was a wide-ranging interview where no questions were off limits. And when I sat down with Hunter
Biden
at his home in Los Angeles, he opened up about his relationship with his father, his feelings about President Trump and his children, and his tough battle with addiction.
You're on pretty much everyone's lips now.
Yeah.
By the way, whatever happened to Hunter? Where the hell is he?
It went to Hunter Biden.
It was Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden's.
Is it the first thing you think about when you wake up, the last thing you think about when you go to bed?
No, it really isn't. And the reason is because I know where I stand with my dad. I know where I stand with my family. Being the subject of Donald Trump's ire is a feather in my cap. It's not something that I go to bed nervous about at night at all. The reason I'm able to do that is because
I
am absolutely enveloped in love of my family. I certainly hope that there is no negative political ramifications of this. I think that the truth always wins.
Do you think you're a distraction right now to your father's campaign?
Well, then they're going to sit you
in your old
man in the
chair.
Myself,
I'm not
the
necessarily a distraction to his campaign. I'm never a distraction
to my
dad.
Not a benefit,
but as it relates to actually going and being on stage with him, this is not a family business. Everybody kind of thinks that that somehow, whether it's a compliment that we're like the Kennedys or whether it's a backhanded compliment like you're the Trumps, my dad has a job. But that does not mean that I had ever
making
had
his family rich
to go do rallies and you know talk about Donald Trump's kids, and I never will. You know, that's not what Bidens do. My dad doesn't go after other people's kids. He just doesn't. Never
oh, my
has.
God. Are
you
do you
think it's perfectly
me?
Fine? I mean, the Trump children have been criticized for doing similar
kid
sorts of
things. Look, unlike them, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about them. I really don't. It's all noise. And what they do is they create just an enormous amount of noise. I have to then answer questions about accusations made by probably the most unethical group of people that we've ever seen in this republic.
You
Peter
said
Schweitzer is chairman
no
of the Government
one
Accountability
votes
Institute.
Or will vote for or against my dad because of me.
Yeah.
And my dad
yes,
knows
they
that.
Will.
You still believe that?
100%. They know who my dad is. My dad doesn't have to defend me. My dad only has to love me. And my
Perry
dad
Mason
loves me
on a quibble.
Look, I know that after being able to get up after Bo died, say whatever the hell they want
lock
to say about me.
Lock
yeah,
him up.
Good for them.
Yeah, maybe lock her up goes to lock him up.
And it did instantly.
I mean, who cares? Look, I'm like I really like I said, I've been through some stuff in my life. I've been through some real, real stuff.
Stuff.
This isn't real stuff.
Got kicked out of the Navy.
It isn't. It truly isn't.
Smoking
that
dope.
Part of it. That Barnum and Bailey.
Married my brother's
you
widow.
Know, say anything, do anything you want.
Divorced
you know,
her.
I mean, like, you know, Donald Prince Humperdinck Trump Jr. is not somebody that I really care about.
What should
Wait a minute,
know
I thought you said
Hunter
you were
going to
go after Donald Trump's
like
kids.
Like every single person that
Prince
I've ever known,
Humperdinck.
I have fallen and I've gotten up. I've done estimable things and things that are have been in my life that I regret. Every single one of those things has brought me exactly to where I am right now, which is probably the best place I've ever been in my life. I've gone through my own struggles.
A multi-millionaire.
Seven, 8 times.
He's done absolutely nothing.
Say it nice.
How many?
To me. Sought treatment
Sought
for
treatment.
An issue like
Sought
most
treatment
people.
For substance abuse
yeah,
issues
so
seven
sensitive.
Or 8 times. I'm so sorry. But I want, like, I think this is a human
well,
question.
I mean, it sounds
yeah.
mandatory.
Do you worry?
No, but for real, let me say
Do you
something.
Worry that all of this noise, even though it's just noise,
no,
it's
I don't
still,
worry.
That it could affect your sobriety?
Of course. Look, you don't want to live in the worry of it because then you're feeding the beast. I have no answer other than this. You got to live in the connections that you have to healthy things. And I have so many of them. And I got to live there instead of living in fear like, oh, my God, the stress is going to make me drink or the stress is going to make me use.
President Trump yeah. likely will
well,
see or at least read about this interview. Anything you'd like him to hear from you?
No. I mean, really, no. It's really hard for me to say anything snarky right now or
really?
Combative because I was raised to respect that office. I don't know.
Right.
It's making me
a little misty out here.
Why do you think you're getting emotional?
Because I want to go to jail.
I'm really proud of being an American.
Oh, my God.
But I have to admit, I take no pleasure in this, as watching this death spiral of this administration, this president, and the people that surround him.
I'm so
how do you think this will
all
play out in the history books?
I don't know. I hope that the history isn't fully written yet. I hope that a lot of people that that have a chance at redemption here stand up for what is right.
And you will be seeing Hunter Biden on the campaign trail with his father.
Honey, baby. So, it's pretty much like I said. And it, you know, and I'm in the interest of disclosure, and I know there would probably be people who would look askance at me for speaking so cavalierly of what did I say, 7 times? He went to rehab 7 times. Wow. Now, there's only 2 ways to look at that, and one way is this. If it legitimately took 7 times to get him clean, if he is clean, because it was just last spring when Joe entered this race, he's out making the announcement that he's throwing his hat into the ring for the Democrat nomination. Somewhere out in the Midwest, Hunter's rental car is turned back in at Hertz or U-Drive, wherever it is. And they find a crack pipe in it, which I'm sure probably belonged to the illegal alien who's on the prep and clean crew for Hertz or Avis or National or whoever it is. I'm sure it wasn't, you know, Huntoons over there. But I got a feeling some of these rehab appearances may probably have just been for appearance's sake. Now, that's a cynic in me, and I really probably ought not go there. And I know that sounds awfully judgmental, but having my own small, limited experience with these issues, what I'm hearing, I don't know. A lot of guys say the same thing, and most of them don't mean it. And that's what I'm picking up. So he does this interview, this softball piece, as you can see what it was, you know, for what it was. It was a bunch of nothing. Again, I've told you guys over and over and over again, so much of this is theater. It's theater. And what we just saw there was some exceptionally bad theater. But the point is, this guy was going to stay hidden. He was going to be perfectly happy to keep his head down throughout this whole thing, throughout this whole falderall. But no, Donald Trump wasn't going to let that happen. ABC was going to let that happen. Even though they're the ones that jumped up and ran to be the firewall, CBS was going to let it happen. Bloomberg was perfectly happy to let it happen. MSNBC, CNN, even Fox News, they were all perfectly willing to let that happen. Oh, they might pay a little bit of lip service, but were they going to go out and run the dude down? No. Were they going to be like Geraldo used to be back in the 2020 days? Those guys would start running from him when he started asking the questions, and he'd just take off running with him, man. But he ran about 3 miles a day, so they could normally outrun Geraldo. So, yeah. No, they didn't do any of that. But Donald Trump says, where the hell is he? Where's Hunter? Boom. There he is. Donald Trump has these fools reacting 6 ways to Sunday. One of the other people, I got another clip we're going to do here, and hopefully we'll be able to move on and shoot the shift after this. Jim Jordan, a guy we need to keep our eye on, Representative Jim Jordan in the House of Representatives from Ohio. Jordan reacts. Okay, let's find it, man. And he caught this interview too, and he's been at the forefront of fighting all these what do I want to say? Coup attempts. And I think he's the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. Gerald Nadler's the head of that, and Jim Jordan is the ranking member there. Doug Collins is someone you want to keep your eye on in the House of Representatives. Anyway, they caught up with Jim Jordan after the Biden interview, and here's what he had to say about it. Really, well, I like the guy, so I'm kind of partial, but here's what he had to say.
Join us from Statuary Hall, Congressman Jim Jordan. He's a Republican from Ohio. He's a Judiciary Committee. He's on the Oversight Committee. He joins us live. Congressman, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be with y'all.
Okay, so Hunter Biden says this whole thing about him and, you know, these corporate boards and, you know, Ukraine and China, things like that, that's all a ridiculous conspiracy theory.
Well, I think two things stuck out. The first is it sounds like he's just upset that he got caught in this ridiculous arrangement. And then second, he said that something about when his dad becomes president. I don't think that's going to happen. But look, the American people knew right from the get-go this was wrong. The American people understand fairness. They instinctively get this wasn't fair, this wasn't proper, this wasn't right. And I think it was pretty obvious. He just said now kind of what the American people already understood when this story first broke.
Yeah, Peter Schweitzer even wrote an editorial last week. Did Hunter do anything illegal? No, and that's the problem. Because you can trade on your name, and that's maybe something that's got to be woven in. I remember having lunch with a senator, and he said, and I could not even offer, even though he came to New York, I could not pay for his lunch.
Right.
And you have to have the lunch standing up, you know, or else it's not official, and you have all these rules. But if you want to use the last name of somebody prominent to get on a board to make a billion, you can. But the one problem they have is, according to this interview, he says he never spoke to his dad about it. But according to the New Yorker article, he said, Dad, as Hunter recalled, his father discussed Burisma with him once. Dad said, I hope you know what you're doing, and I said, I do. So if he's going to hedge on that, what else might he be hedging on? Where is he telling the truth?
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't know. We just know that this stuff smells. I mean, the whole arrangement with China, the $1 billion from a subsidiary bank of the Bank of China, this arrangement with Burisma, this company in the Ukraine where Hunter Biden had no experience, didn't know the language, no experience in the energy sector, and not an expert on Ukraine, gets this position. I think the American people, again, they saw this for what it is. They know it smells. They know it's wrong. And that's the fact. So look, let's deal with the issues that the American people care about now. Let's work on prescription drug prices. Let's get this USMCA passed. Let's
Good
make
luck.
Sure we can do those. Yeah, right. It's going to be tough because they're so focused on attacking the president. That's all they want to do in this unfair process that they've begun.
Okay, we have another clip from that interview that Amy Robach had with Hunter Biden. Listen to this.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. But that's, I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
Congressman?
Not probably not. Definitely not. Again, this is so obvious. I guess he wanted to do the interview to talk about it, but again, I think everyone understood what took place here. We understood it as soon as we saw the fact that with no experience, he was getting paid $50,000 a month. I've said before, I have constituents, I get the privilege of serving in the 4th District of Ohio who don't make that in a year. So everyone got this. Everyone knows it's wrong. It is what it is.
Well put. Congressman, let's talk a little bit about the impeachment inquiry, now day two of week four. You know, because so much of it is behind closed doors,
we really don't have a very good idea on what's going on because it's supposed to be secret. I know Matt Gaetz tried to go to one hearing yesterday, but they threw him out because he wasn't a member of that committee. What's going on?
Steve, this is ridiculous. This unfair and partisan process. I mean, think about what they're trying to do. 13 months before an election, they're trying to impeach the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, based on an anonymous whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge who has a bias against the president. It's now been reported that the whistleblower worked with Joe Biden. And the day after the call, the whistleblower actually writes this long memo, and he uses words like frightening and scary that this call was crazy. And then, guess what? He waits 18 days to file the complaint with the inspector general. And who's the first person he runs off and sees in that 18-day interim? He runs off and sees Adam Schiff's staff. Adam Schiff, the guy who didn't tell us that he met with the whistleblower before the complaint was even filed. Adam Schiff, who is running this secret proceeding behind closed doors where the president gets no rights and the minority doesn't get subpoena power like Adam Schiff has. This is the
Shifty.
Most ridiculous, unfair, wrong process. And again, I think the American people see it for what it is.
Right.
Just an all-out attack
a
on the president in an unfair and partisan fashion.
So a couple of things are happening because things leak out from behind closed doors. Early on, the first two witnesses seem to bolster the president's case. The last two don't.
Schiff
Fiona
leak.
Hill and the ambassador to the Ukraine. Obviously, if you get removed, you're not
Leaky
really going to sing the president's praises. And then Fiona Hill seems to back up the ambassador. So to say that essentially Rudy Giuliani was running an investigation, they were not comfortable with it. The question is, if this storyline continues, and it looks like it will, where does this all go?
I mean, who knows? I think the Democrats, they want to move full steam with impeachment, which is, again, I don't think the American people see it. The American people know it's not warranted, and it's not fair. It's not the right direction ahead at all.
They're not doing
it. What frustrates me is the only interview that we're allowed to talk about in any shape or form is the very first one that Kurt Volker did under the transcribed interview rules. Every other interview that's happened has been done under a subpoena and deposition rules, and yet the New York Times has this long piece today allegedly talking about things that took place in that room. So the Democrats are out talking to everybody. Again, they're making the rules up as they go along, but they're not even following their own rules. They're not even following the rules they put in place. So it's secret if it's in any way going to be helpful to the president. And it looks like anything they want to leak, they're leaking, which is, again, I think just underscores how partisan and unfair this process is. But never forget, Speaker Pelosi said she wants to, quote, strike while the iron's hot. She wants to go after this president, and she doesn't want to do it in any type of fair fashion, any type of fair format.
How does this play out when it comes to the election?
Well, I mean, we'll have to see, but I think the American people, the folks I get the privilege of representing, they see right through it. They're ticked.
Right.
They're mad. They're fed up with the attacks that the Democrats in this town have levied against the president since day one. And remember, it was even before he was president. This all started July 31st, 2016, when Jim Comey opened an investigation into President Trump based on this false accusation that he had somehow coordinated with Russia.
Right.
And it's been going ever since then. And the American people are sick of it.
Right.
They know it's wrong, and they support the president.
And real quick, Congressman, are you saying there's no USMCA that's going to be voted on and there's no prescription drugs? Or are you still hopeful?
I'm hopeful, but look, Nancy Pelosi has shown no indication of wanting to do what's best for the country.
Right.
All she is focused on, and certainly Adam Schiff, all he is focused on is attacking this president, and that's what drives the American people crazy.
It does indeed. All right, Jim Jordan from Ohio. Sir, thank you very much for joining.
Oh, my. Well, as it stands, and again, you know, at the heart of all this theater is some really serious crime being committed. Sedition being committed. Treason. Nobody likes to say that, you know, you don't hear that bandied about too much. Treason. But what do you call it? What else do you call it? I mean, you know, but what is it? If this is not treasonous action, if this is not treasonous behavior or seditious behavior, then what is? with Bob Mueller's devastatingly terrible testimony in front of the House Judiciary Committee and Gerald Nadler dropping the ball with the Mueller report, it's been handed Nancy Pelosi, because she doesn't have a lot to work with. She doesn't have a lot to choose from. So she's stuck. And Nancy Pelosi is not all that smart, but I think even Nancy knows that Schiff's a dumbass. But she didn't have any choice. Nadler couldn't get anywhere. And he was just, and what's going to, it's going to be a toss-up. I think ultimately they're both buffoons. It's going to be tough to decide which one in this window of history will be seen as the greatest of the two in buffoonery. But so now it's Adam Schiff. It's Adam Schiff's turn. And Mueller dropped it with the dossier, the Steele dossier, which of course led to the Mueller report. Mueller report was a big go nowhere, nothing burger. Mueller's testimony went even further than nowhere and just as bad. But there are a lot of parallels to the Steele dossier and what we will now refer to as the Schiff Biden dossier. And one of those commonalities has to do with the fact that it is product. In other words, it's manufactured. Now, the Russian collusion tangent, that facet of this coup, because it's ongoing. We're still in the throes of this coup, people. Our nation is literally under attack from within, but we'll have to ponder that another time. But the Russian collusion facet of this thing, that prong, was designed to frame up Donald Trump while, at the same time, diverting attention from Hillary Clinton's real collusion with Russia in the Uranium One deal, we've been all through that, and using the Clinton Foundation as a pay-for-play cash cow while she was Secretary of State. Now, with the revelations, and this was some big news over the weekend, the Washington Examiner, that this whistleblower, that's the centerpiece of Schiff's salad. They find out that this guy, he's a CIA type. He worked for Joe Biden. And two of Adam Schiff's aides, one hired back in February, one in August, at the same time the whistleblower is making his complaint, they both worked with the whistleblower. And then, you can just see that this is fraud. Straight up fraud manufactured by Adam Schiff and Joe Biden to get Trump while diverting attention from the Biden family corruption from Ukraine to China. So, this mirrors the Russia collusion thing, the anti-Trump people there, where members of the intelligence community, like James Clapper and John Brennan, and even Senate Majority Leader at the time, Harry Reid, in keeping Hillary Clinton out of jail and Donald Trump out of the White House, but it didn't work. This guy, Sean Misko, who was the aide that Adam Schiff hired in August, just almost the same time, practically, that the whistleblower's complaint was filed. He worked in the Obama administration as a member of the Secretary of State's policy planning staff under a guy named Jake Sullivan, who went on to become Hillary Clinton's top foreign policy official during her 2016 presidential campaign. He had ties to Hillary Clinton. He worked for her. They had contact with Schiff's, you know, aides. Schiff says, no, we didn't know anything about it, but they knew all about it. Schiff's committee had copies, and Schiff himself had copies of the letters that were sent to the IG before they were sent to the IG. He knew about the complaint days before it was officially filed. And the slimy little son of a, you know, he gets caught. And he said, you know, no, we haven't had any contact with him. We would like to talk to him, but we haven't talked to him. And then it turns out that, yeah, they knew that when he said that, he'd already contacted the guy, because he said that stuff late September, early October, and he'd been talking to the guy in August. Months he's been running this scam, getting this thing set up. Yeah. And, you know, here's the weasel. So he gets caught in this lie, as he's been caught in every other lie that he's told. And he said, you know, he said, no, we haven't talked to him. We'd like to talk to him, but, well, we just haven't yet. But then it turns out, yeah, they've been talking to him. We had the letter that his, you know, that his complaint was based on, and we knew about it before he filed the complaint. And then when he filed the complaint with the Intelligence Community Inspector General, the guy neglected to mention that he had been in contact with us, and we knew about everything from the get-go. And here's what the Schiff monster had to say on, I don't know. Somebody that's going to give him softballs, too. You'll see.
We turn now to the other big story we've been watching, that of the impeachment inquiry into charges that the president and his allies pressured Ukraine to investigate unsubstantiated allegations of wrongdoing by former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter. We're joined now by the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff. Good morning to you, Chairman. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Before we move to impeachment, I want to ask for your reaction to the president's decision to pull out of Syria.
Well, I agree with my Republican colleague. I think this is disastrous. It's a complete capitulation to Erdogan that is putting at great
bad.
Peril probably our
dangerous.
Strongest ally in the fight against ISIS, and that is the Syrian Kurds. They were fighting
side by side
with American forces. We have pulled the rug out from under them. They're being slaughtered. There are war crimes that are being committed against them. And we're seeing ISIS fighters released from custody just as we predicted would happen. And for the president to say, well, you know, they're just going to go to Europe.
They're not letting men in women's bathrooms.
We're not going
to
have an ally left after this presidency. You can imagine how Europe feels about the president of the United States saying, well, we're not really concerned about foreign fighters going to Europe. They're going to pose a direct threat to our homeland as well, and we ought to care about our allies.
I am so smart.
This wouldn't be happening but for this impulsive decision by the president to capitulate to Erdogan by precipitously withdrawing our forces. It's just what Secretary Mattis warned against. Erdogan took this as a green light, and who can blame him for perceiving that that was the president's intention? And the consequences will be far lasting.
But he's not doing anything.
The
Nothing's
damage
happened.
To our standing, the fact the Kurds are now entertaining going to the Russians to protect them because the Americans wouldn't, this is just an unmitigated disaster. And I deeply fear, as Secretary Mattis has said, that this will result in the resurgence of ISIS.
Well, I want to get to the other big topic, and that
yeah.
is the impeachment inquiry that you are leading. Do you see this widening?
Well, we're keeping our focus right now on the president's coercion of an ally, that is Ukraine, to create these sham investigations into his political opponent. We have discovered in very short order, not only the contents of that call, but also the preparatory work that went into that call, the effort to condition something the Ukrainian president deeply sought, and that was a meeting with the president to establish that this new president of Ukraine had a powerful patron in the president of the United States that was of vital importance to Ukraine, was so being conditioned on digging up dirt on the Bidens.
So you see that as the quid pro quo, well, not just the military aid.
Well, first of all, there doesn't need to be a quid pro maybe quo. But it is clear already, I think, from the text messages that this meeting that the Ukraine president sought was being conditioned on their willingness to interfere in the U.S. election to help the president. That is a terrible abuse of the president's power.
It sounds like collusion.
Now, whether that abuse goes further, that is the withholding of military aid also as leverage. Mm-hmm. There's certainly strong indications that that is true as well, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But here mm-hmm. you have a president of the United States abusing his power to the detriment of our national security, and doing so to get yet another foreign country to intervene in our election. It's hard to imagine more of a corruption of his office than that.
When will you begin to hold public hearings? So the polling that CBS has done has shown that Americans really are not clear on what to think about this impeachment inquiry over the past 2 weeks.
And they know what to think. They don't.
Well, actually,
I think the public
attitudes have swiftly moved in strong support of the impeachment inquiry. And, you know, what we are trying to do is do a methodical and yet with a sense of urgency investigation of these matters.
Well, the Republicans say it's behind closed doors so you can cherry-pick information to be released.
The Republicans would like nothing
better
because they view their role as defending the president, being the president's lawyers. If witnesses could tailor their testimony to other witnesses, they would love for one witness to be able to hear what another witness says so that they can know what they can give away and what they can't give away. There's a reason why investigations and grand jury proceedings, for example, and I think this is analogous to a grand jury proceeding, are done out of the public view initially. Now, we may very well call some of the same witnesses or all the same witnesses in public hearings as well, but we want to make sure that we meet the needs of the investigation and not give the president or his legal minions the opportunity to tailor their testimony and
that's it, Jesus. Okay. Here's the deal. And don't take my word for it. Check it out yourself. We talked about this last week. But this is a bluff. All of it is a bluff. If we say it another way, you know, they impeachment and there's all, you know, dun dun dun, there's this dramatic music that comes up and it's you know, it fills you with this fear and this dread of the we don't know what it means. If we look at it historically, we can see the procedure as it was probably close to being done the most accurately with Andrew Johnson in 1866. We saw the threat of impeachment and the evidence that would have ultimately been, I guess, used if it came to a Senate trial, prompting Richard Nixon to resign before facing the procedure. Bill Clinton was impeached in the House, tried and acquitted in the Senate. And what happened? No. So impeachment, fundamentally a vote of no confidence. And a vote of no confidence is something that you hear about, you know, as a term used in other countries where there are political separations of power, just like we have here. In some countries, the president has the right to dissolve parliament and call for new elections. And as a political counterbalance to that, the parliament can declare a vote of no confidence against the president. Now, in America, the president cannot dissolve Congress under any circumstances, but the price for such protection of the Congress is high. As a counterweight, both chambers, the Senate and the House of Representatives, must speak out against the president in case of impeachment. This process of a vote of no confidence in the House of Representatives is called impeachment. In the Senate, it's called a trial. So what awaits the president after impeachment? Well, the answer is nothing. Impeachment is purely a political maneuver, and the president remains in office to fulfill his duties until the end of his term, knowing that the House of Representatives is unhappy with him. The last well-known example of this, Bill Clinton, impeached in 1988, but acquitted by the Senate. And so what? Nothing. He continued to work. If you can call it that. The fact is that the second part of the vote of no confidence takes place in the Senate. Here in the Senate, according to the United States Constitution, a trial of the president occurs. And the trial takes place in a manner close to real court proceedings, lawyers, prosecutors, judges, prosecution witnesses, defense witnesses. Contrary to the House decision, the Senate's trial considers whether or not there was a violation of the law by the president. Now, if a violation of the law has occurred, then the president could lose his post. The current hysteria among the Democrats regarding impeachment is unusual because, first off, it's based on rumors. That's why, second of all, the Democrats have still not decided which law Trump's violated. And finally, and most importantly, there was no vote in the House of Representatives to initiate the impeachment procedure. More precisely, the House of Representatives, in which the majority belongs to the Democrats, in a 332-95 decision, chose not to bother with impeachment. So, what is happening now in the House of Representatives is an unauthorized, albeit with a verbal approval of Speaker Pelosi, a political show of two congressmen with demonstrably low IQs. Chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, and the chairman of the and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Jerry the Jowl Nadler. And since the current case of impeachment in the House is an unofficial media spectacle, but still legally doesn't exist, Republican congressmen, as we heard Jordan say, they have no way to participate in this case. They can't interrogate witnesses. They can't get acquainted with any of the documents during discovery. They're completely squeezed out of the process. So how can you keep calling it a bluff? They're doing things and talking about stuff in meetings. Well, yeah, that's true. They are. But here's the thing. the United States Constitution empowers only the entire House of Representatives with impeachment authority, not just the Speaker of the House or the chairman of the committees of the House. The Constitution refers specifically to the entire House of Representatives and never mentions any individual members of Congress. The impeachment decision must be made by the entirety of the chamber's vote, not by its high-ranking representatives. In any election, there are winners and losers, and the founding fathers deliberately established a system in which said losers would not have an opportunity to seek revenge on the winner. In other words, impeachment can be initiated only by a public institution, the House of Representatives, and not by individual citizens, no matter how high they are in the public hierarchy. If they do otherwise, the Democrats could well lead America to a constitutional crisis. And this is not like one of these constitutional crises that the Democrats are always blowing smoke about. This would be a genuine constitutional crisis. The Founding Fathers intentionally raised the bar for impeachment and the subsequent trial to unprecedented heights, demanding that the removal of the president from office be for a flagrant violation of the most serious laws by the president, such as, example, betrayal. The Founding Fathers tried their best to reduce the likelihood of settling political scores with the help of endless impeachment procedures. That's why a Senate trial requires a constitutional two-thirds of the vote. Such a high level was supposed to cool the ardor of those individuals who, instead of a constructive opposition, would decide to participate in political vendetta. The TV propagandists talk a lot about the fact that some senior White House officials have already been officially subpoenaed. Mike Pence, Secretary Pompeo, Rudy Giuliani, this is bluff. There are no formal subpoenas. Subpoenas can only be sent after voting in a committee of the House. For example, say the Judiciary Committee votes to subpoena these people or the Intelligence Committee. So far, no committee has voted. So what happened? They were just sent letters. There were letters that were sent to some members of Trump's staff, and these letters were signed by the chairman of some committees of the House. That's it. The letters call for Trump employees to voluntary testimony, and they call for them for the voluntary submission of documents. And a warning is made that if they do not agree to this, a subpoena may be issued. That is the maximum that the chairpersons of the committees of the House can do as individuals without votes while remaining within the law. So why are Democrats acting like this? Well, to a large extent, because voting in the House of Representatives and its committees is never secret. It's always out in the open. So Democrats don't want voters to know who voted for impeachment and who's against it. All Democrats, members of Congress from traditionally Republican states, are watching this circus with horror. They know very well that if they vote for impeachment, the 2020 elections will be their last. We should not forget that impeachment is the only weapon left for the Democrats to at least somehow resist the investigation of the Department of Justice about the origins of the failed Russiagate palace coup, the role of the Obama administration in the widespread surveillance of the Trump campaign and Donald Trump. The irony of the situation is that Trump's political opponents, the Democrats and the disinformation media supporting them, have been complaining for more than 3 years that other nations' interference in the U.S. election is bad and not acceptable. So now when Trump decided to conduct a thorough investigation of such interference, they lost their minds. The Democrats want Donald Trump's impeachment, but they only want it in a virtual form, only on a TV screen, because they're guaranteed to lose in a rigorous legal or political trial. They decided not to recognize the results of the 2016 elections, and they embarked on a new, unprecedented in America path, the path of permanent palace coup. So an attempt to impeach a president, then, though, that's responsible for the lowest unemployment rate in America in the last 50 years, though, is political suicide. Trump knows this, so he constantly encourages and gently pushes the Democrats to do just that, to impeach him. So they don't have any choice. They've gone this far. They're in. They've got to roll this bluff impeachment process all the way through, in spite of the fact no laws have been broken. And the only thing that they can indict Trump on, and it would be the worst crime from a Democrat's point of view, and that's the crime of winning an election. Spies, lies, and dirty guys. ACP's heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We have a recorded version of the program at Mojo50 Radio, Mojo50.com. You can go there, hit the show tab, and you can listen to whatever's playing as it's scheduled in the rotation, or you can just scroll back through there and you can listen to whatever episodes you might have missed in its archive format. Your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio, Mojo50.com. And I guess that's about all the time we got, folks. I want to thank you for bearing with us tonight. I guess I was just in a mood and had some stuff we needed to talk about. We will be back here Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our good buddy El Guapo, the handsome one himself, Mark Hoffman, and Patriot Nation Radio Live. Just 2 days from now. Until then, God bless you. God bless America. And we'll see you on Thursday when we will take a look at things yet again, as we do, through a conservative's perspective. We'll see you then.